Port him in the Parliamentary Press Gallery for Wāte News. Tēnā koe, and hoki maira te toi ne.
Tēnā koe, Dale.
Hey.
Nā mahi, tēnā koe.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. And good interview with Tama Pōtaka, with the minister. It's the most comprehensive I've heard him speaking, and, you know, I think that was due to the pātai that you were asking him. So congratulations on that. And, of April the 23rd, a reported 3,365 roles have been or are proposed to be disestablished, part of the government's cost-saving drive. So we're now up to 3,365. And yes, some would say that some of those are vacant roles, but we're focused on those who have real people with real names and real whānau and real issue and real bills to pay. We're focused on those. Now, as you have mentioned, and you will have Eugene Ryder coming up later on in the day, but I did spend the day listening to the Justice Select Committee, and they heard from submitters on the Gangs Legislation Amendment Bill. Now, this gives police extra powers to stop gang members, and we've spoken about that before, stop gang members from congregating, wearing their patches in public places, and using association. The police will be able to use association as an aggravating factor in sentencing. So in early March, though, a report by the Attorney General, Judith Collins, she found that the bill would be inconsistent with the right to expression, association, and peaceful assembly. So the government is plodding on, progressing it anyway, this bill. Now, two of the star submitters, Black Power Associates Eugene Ryder and Dennis O'Reilly, and we know them very well. Eugene gives the genesis of gangs, while O'Reilly gives us a bit of political history of gangs. And here they both are here, Eugene Ryder and Dennis O'Reilly.
I was a state ward. I was abused while I was in care, and I found solace in the Black Power community here in Wellington. The reason I found solace with them is we shared similar, if not exact, experiences within state care. The people that were put in charge on behalf of the state to care for us were raping us. What we learned from that was violence, extreme violence.
One of the problems that we have is we have conflated organised crime with the story that Eugene told us of the abuse in state care, the rural to urban shift, and the structural reforms of the fourth Labor government and the move away from a more social orientation. When the programs that engaged gangs that came out of the Committee on Gangs in 1981 got rolling, gang membership started to decline. This was disestablished under the fourth Labor government. Shame on them. What I have noticed is in recent years, the impact of the Kohanga Reo movement, Kura Kaupapa Māori, Wānanga Māori, has changed the dynamic. And we are now seeing our wahine taking a much stronger role. And I agree entirely with Eugene, there's been a fantastic whānau focus backed up by the Prime Minister's Chief Science Advisor in her excellent report.
Now, the Select Committee also heard from a dozen or so lawyers, prominent legal minds from around the country, all of them unanimously opposed the bill, all citing a breach of human rights, a breach of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, negative impact on mokopuna, and even a comparison with the killing and bashing of women in Iran. So here's Te Hungaroa Māori, Manamukupuna, the New Zealand Law Society, New Zealand Bar Association, here they all are here.
The provisions around the gang insignia, dispersal notices and the non-consorting orders all give police an enormous amount of discretion. And we know from the long history in this country that that discretion is never exercised by police without bias, that Māori are always worse off when police are exercising discretion. In terms of the sentencing amendments, the position of Te Hungaroia Māori is that is simply not necessary. Judges are already taking into account gang context where it is relevant. In fact, to suggest otherwise is probably quite insulting to the judiciary, who are already doing this.
The definition of consorting, which includes associating or communicating with, this obviously is intended to prevent the ability of gang members to associate and intimidate in public, but it goes far broader than that. It's inadvertently going to capture a much wider group and completely ignores the practicalities of things like attending tangi, family attending court in support of other family members, including youth, other emergencies, and of course things like whānau hui, which are commonly actually required by the justice process.
The concept that we punish people for membership of an organisation when that membership had nothing to do with the offence for which they are being sentenced is repugnant. The Sentencing Act already permits the court to take into account as an aggravating factor the nature and extent of any connection between the offender and their involvement in any criminal association.
What basically this legislation intending to do is to make it a criminal activity of an organization by the choice of attire that they're wearing, standing together on the street. This is exactly what the Islamic Republic is doing in Iran. They are beating up and arresting women because of the choice of attire they have chosen to wear. We're not living in Iran. We're living in a civilized society. Also, more importantly, in my view, the proposed legislation would violate the Treaty of Waitangi.
Now, Chris Cahill from the Police Association, you spoke with him yesterday. He was kind of supportive of the bill, but not in its entirety. The lone single figure, totally on side, supportive of the bill, was former Whanganui Mayor Michael Laws, who himself introduced a similar bill about 2010 or so. Here's Michael Laws.
My name's Michael Laws. I was mayor of Whanganui District Council between 2004 and 2010, a councillor from 2010 to 2014. There is only one place in New Zealand that you can go to for evidence, and it's Whanganui. That gang insignia and the banning of gang patches from public places not only had the effect of making people feel safer, but it also had the effect of making gangs easier to manage from a police perspective. And it actually had the incredible effect of reducing gang membership. How important that patch and gang insignia is, it's a demonstration, an advertisement of a gang membership. And to reduce or to remove that reduces one of the key attractants of becoming a gang member or a gang associate. Gangs are an insidious blight upon this country.
Yeah. So he also went on to say that gang members left the area. So a couple of issues raised there. Some of those whānau members were tangata whenua of that rohe. So, you know, being driven off their land, there's that. And where did they actually go? He didn't actually say that. But finally, I just want to mention that the Finance Minister, Nicola Willis, she received advice on disestablishing the National Resilience Plan Fund. It's a $6 billion scheme set up by Cyclone Gabriel after Cyclone Gabriel and the Auckland funds. Now she floods, and she wants it to fund strategic investments in building back better. So that was not meant to have been released. That was leaked. The coalition government's cabinet is full of leaky holes.
Interesting stuff this morning. Thanks very much. And for the, it took us right into the debating room, didn't it? The actual audio that you shared with us this morning. Appreciate it very much. And perhaps the most insidious blight on our country might be the former mayor of Whanganui, Michael. Whanganui, mate. He seems stuck in yesteryear, that bloke. Thanks very much, Claudette.
Just an emphasis that he was the only outright supporter of what is hundreds and thousands of submissions. So there we go.
Doesn't surprise, Michael. It doesn't surprise. Thanks so much, Claudette. Ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi.